expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Southern Mind. A little Southern accent there, just because.
I mean, we did just have the rodeo yesterday there.
Well, there's that. I'm not sure that has to be Southern, though. That's more of a, you need a twang there just a little bit.
Got a bit of a twang.
A twang. Anyway, Sunday. Today is April 23rd. We took last week off, and we're back at it again this week. My sister is not here with us. She is on assignment, as they say. I'm not sure what she's assigned to, but she's assigning something somewhere or just signing something. Brought to you by Julie Foster, Allstate Insurance Agents. That's who we're brought to you by. 810 Main Street, Red Bluff. That's 530-572-5534. She's the best and will take care of all your insurance needs. Also, Luke Pearson Construction, Custom Homes and Excavating. 530-605-9575. Again, that's 530-605-9575. He's licensed and bonded. I don't have the commercial for Jeff Worst at Crackmasters, but he is one of our sponsors, and so we want to give a shout-out to him. Shout-out to Marty McGill at Clear Creek Microgreens. Also, MountaintopMedia.com, who has now officially been born into the world of multiple podcasts at this point. So we've got some more announcements to make on that as things go developing. So we also have in the studio with us Dave.
Good morning.
Cyber Dave Johnson, the kid that rocks around the clock, faster speeding internet connection, more powerful than a high-speed download, 10th degree black belt and RAM, Cyber Dave!
Good morning, everybody.
How was that?
It was good. I liked it.
Okay, cool.
I probably need more coffee in my system.
That's what I'm doing now. I need to find some, inject some freeze-dried Folgers. I'm also our producer. Wanted to shout out to Liam in there. He's doing a great job in there.
Good morning.
What do you call that? The board?
It's a board, yeah.
Yeah, as opposed to the Borg. You know, we're not being assimilated by the Borg. We're being produced by Liam at the board.
At the board.
Minus the board. Never mind. Let's see what else have we got going in here. We have an announcement here, and the IGO Memorial Service, they're going to lay wreaths at 11 a.m. May 29th, and that's the Veterans. So what is that day? Is Memorial Wreaths Day? I mean, is Veterans Day? What is that?
I'm not sure.
I have to look. I got a little note here from Frank. Lay wreaths. Shasta County Veterans Affiliated Council. We live in our nation heroes, saluting our nation's heroes. May 30th at 11 a.m. Veterans Memorial Grove Civic Auditorium. There's a complimentary lunch after the ceremony. So maybe we can get some more information on that so I can actually make a coherent announcement next time. Anyway, a little handwritten stickies here. Thanks, Frank. All right, so we got a lot of stuff to cover today. I mean, it just the fun keeps on the fun never stops. I mean, it just a gift that keeps on giving. So I have several things that we can work on here. I think I think let's go with J.P. Sears, the latest edition of We Lie to You News. Okay, here we go. Here's J.P. Sears, and then we'll gather our thoughts and go from there. Here we go. Hold on. We actually got to plug this in. Never mind. Hold on. Boy, more coffee.
You're already over here trying to live in 2030 where we don't have any wires.
Everything's wireless now.
Either we don't have any wires or don't have anything. There's kind of a fine line somewhere.
Yeah, we're wired to everything or wired to nothing.
Well, I mean, either which way, you're still wireless.
It's kind of.
You own no wires.
And that's different than back in the day when we were just wired. It's okay.
And it wasn't on coffee.
It wasn't with electronically. Never mind. All right, here we go, JP.
With the government.
No, we got the. Are we going on in there? What's going on?
Yeah, you need to turn your volume up.
Okay, let's try it one more time. Here we go. We'll get it.
Tax dollars. I say money wasted is money well spent. Hi, peon. Pay your taxes, and welcome to We Lie to You News. Tonight we'll have a special report on why you definitely want to pay your taxes, and tonight's episode is brought to you by the IRS. Now, tax day has come and gone, and it turns out some of you haven't paid your taxes. Some people have false conclusions about how the government spends their hard-earned money, which makes them hesitate on handing over a minimum of a third of their income that they work day in and day out for to provide for their families, but mostly for their government. Tonight, our government-sponsored investigative journalism will uncover for you all the beneficial ways that the government spends your money, which is sure to incentivize you to pay your taxes properly. In fact, you'll probably want to send in more than you actually owe just to support the good works that they do with your money. Ukraine. Need I say more? Through no choice of your own, in the name of protecting and defending America, we've sent over $150 billion to Ukraine to support a losing war effort. It's like replicating the best of the Vietnam War, only adding in the bonus that the more we send your money to Ukraine, the faster we're intentionally starting World War III. Leaving a legacy of massive death and nuclear fallout will leave the world virtually uninhabitable for you, your children, and future grandchildren. Have you ever wanted to vacation at Chernobyl? Well, we're bringing Chernobyl to you, and everywhere else for that matter. And we absolutely couldn't fund our wise decision to do so without your money. So pay your taxes. The Taliban. Of course, 2 years ago, upon a rather abrupt withdrawal from Afghanistan that didn't go super well due to the fact that Mercury was in retrograde, the government handed over more than $85 billion in military equipment and weapons to one of the most dangerous terrorist organizations on the planet, the Taliban. And thank you for paying for the $85 billion worth of weaponry for us to arm our enemies with. And you might say, that's great, I obviously approve, but that's all in the past. Well, how happy would you be if I told you your tax dollars may still be going right to the Taliban? Unbelievable, right? Well, check out Special Inspector John Sopko.
I cannot assure this committee or the American taxpayer we are not currently funding the Taliban. Nor can I assure you that the Taliban are not diverting the money we are sending from the intended recipients, which are the poor Afghan people.
That's pretty good. Try funding the Taliban on your own. It's pretty hard to do. That's why the government steps in as the postal carrier pigeon that takes your money right to their front door, steps over the decapitated bodies of their victims, and delivers it right to their blood-covered terrorist hands. This just in! You might be thinking that you would get more benefit if the government just burned your money instead of spending it in the destructive ways that they do. Now that might be technically correct, but it wouldn't be any fun that way. Now it turns out that some people are so greedy with their money that they feel entitled to keep some of it. But I assure you, with the rather convincing force of 87,000 armed IRS agents, your money is obviously much better off in the hands of the government than yours. Did I mention that our new 87,000 comrades at the IRS are armed? Now, we are 100% against guns and think they should be banned completely. Only exception is that we think the IRS should be fully armed with guns that are intended to be used against you, the citizens who paid for their guns to be used against you. But because innocent taxpayers can be rather hard to control, the IRS certainly needs more guns. So pay your taxes. Abortions. Now, you might not be willing to kill babies yourself because you're a dangerous right-wing extremist, but we're on a mission to force you to pay for other people to kill babies through taxpayer-funded abortions. This lets you contribute to infanticide while getting none of the blood directly on your hands. So pay your taxes. Bailing out banks. If you come upon hard times, rest assured that the government will be happy to leave you high and dry. But when big banks are irresponsible enough with your money to go under, don't worry. The government will use more of your money to bail out the banks. So pay your taxes. Salaries for criminals. You may have seen Biden's now former Nuclear Energy Secretary, Sam Brinton, in the news. His pronouns are he, she, felon. Now, in between sections of putting on lipstick and doing the tuck and pee-pee dance, he was committing plenty of felony theft. And Sam was specifically hired by government officials, whose salaries you pay for, and he, she, self was paid a salary that you pay for. And these types of expert hiring decisions are what the government specializes in. And you make it possible. Hi, Sam. Thank you for coming in for the interview. Are you white? Yes. Well, damn it. Are you at least mentally ill? You are. Well, you are hired, good sir, ma'am, felon. Now pay your taxes. Free shots. For the past 3 years, your government has been trying to coerce you into taking a shot that's so safe and effective that it was recently taken off the market because of how dangerous it is. And the best part is, these shots have been free. Here's how they're free. The government takes your hard-earned tax dollars and gives them to Big Pharma. And then they turn around and offer you a free shot. It's free, because whether you want it or not, you already paid for it. And we think you're dumb enough to believe they're free. So pay your taxes, dummy. Now, a few additional ways that you might not know about that the government wisely, responsibly spends your tax dollars for your benefit. As reported by the Gateway Pundit, the government funded a $560,000 study to analyze fish being forced to exercise on a treadmill to the point of exhaustion. Results of the study? Well, it turns out fish don't have legs and therefore can't use treadmills. But we never would have found this out if you didn't pay for this $500,000 groundbreaking study. The government also spent $150,000 to study the ability of gingerbread houses to withstand earthquakes. Results? Well, gingerbread houses don't withstand earthquakes very well because they are, in fact, gingerbread houses. So don't live in one. Thanks to how your government spends your money, now you know. So pay your taxes. In conclusion, statistically speaking, 95% of lottery winners go broke within 5 years. This is because they don't inherently know how to wisely steward their money because they didn't earn it due to the fact that it was just handed to them. Given that the government isn't broke, but instead even worse, has over $31 trillion in national debt, you might jump to the conclusion that the government doesn't know what they're doing with your money, just like lottery winners. No. But that would be false. Because unlike lottery winners who run out of their money after spending it like idiots, the government uses you to continually replenish their stock of money that they don't know how to manage. That's it for tonight's special report on why you should pay your taxes. You can sleep well at night knowing half the money you earn is for the government and will go to intelligently selected programs that will reward you by providing a better life for people in Ukraine. Go pay your taxes. Good night.
Yeah, pretty much spot on, especially after April 15th here. You know, it's like, they take your tax money and do it, but and then if they're running short on their spending, then they counterfeit it. and the guys that are counterfeiting the money and lending it to the government at interest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not a problem, is it? I mean, You know, I'm going to run a thing here probably on the next podcast with Bill Still. And he talks about, he's got a U.S. debt, it's on Rumble, U.S. debt. And I'm starting to gravitate to Rumble more and more because YouTube's starting to turn out to be like Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
And so Rumble is going to be the place where everybody needs to migrate eventually at some point because there's still free speech over there. But he's talking about how we could just get rid of the debt by getting rid of the Federal Reserve and going to United States notes, which are, by the way, completely legal, but they're not a debt-based instrument. What most people don't understand is that we lend our money into existence. Oh, wait a minute. We don't lend it to ourselves. They lend it to us. So if it was our money, why would we charge ourselves interest? So the Federal Reserve is a private bank lending us the money to buy the treasuries that we're printing. So we're printing out an IOU that is being bought by a debt in a ledger, you know, some digits, and charging you interest on it.
Here's a thought process on this. If I print out $100 and charge you interest on $102, but I'm the one that's made all of the money, where are you going to get the money to pay the interest on the money that I printed?
Well, you can't. See, the thing is what this
does. Oh, yeah, I haven't printed it yet, right?
Right. See, you have to borrow more money to pay the interest on the debt. Or what happens is the whole thing collapses under the weight of the debt.
And so, in essence, what you're saying, it's a Ponzi scheme, but if I do it, I go to jail.
Well, it's a Ponzi scheme on steroids, and yeah, you would go straight to jail. And
they really don't like competition, do they?
Well, very little. So that's the thing there, and you know, we've got and so basically you know, you've got a money system that is absolutely corrupt, as well as with the government. I mean, and that's why the founders, you know, basically railed against this over and over again.
Well, and to your point real quick about the YouTube and Rumble, this is something that we've got to really keep our heads on, and we've got to fight against every step of the way. That's called the Restrict Act.
Right.
And it's a potential new enforcement tool to address any type of sites that they don't want you visiting. They can just block and ban. And it's not about TikTok.
Well, and it looks to me, and I have a story here. It's the UMU Unicoin International Settlements, the CBDC, introduced at the 2023 IMF meeting, the International Monetary. There's so many three-letter acronyms here, you don't even remember what they all are for. And they threw a four-letter word in it for the central bank digital currency just to throw us off. But so the digital currency monetary, the Digital Currency Monetary Authority. Did you know that even existed?
I'm not surprised.
Announced the launch of a new international central bank digital currency universal monetary unit. That's the UMU. Also known as Unicoin. Well, anything they say that's going as a Unicoin, it should be Unicorn.
Okay. I was
going to say. It's a unicorn coin. Yeah,
this is one of those things, too. When we first started talking about it, oh, nobody's going to have ESG scores. Nah. That's never going to happen. Now you've all got one.
They're not going to shoot for world domination in a global society with a cashless thing going on that could be a digital coin system that could take over the world through the monetary system.
Well, and this is the thing.
Nah.
Now you're telling me about this. As soon as we ended up starting to talk about the CBDCs, all of a sudden they start backing off and start saying, oh, we're not doing this. At the same time, they're still doing this. And now we have the Unicoin. Yay.
Yeah, that's so close to unicorn. and it's all a big rainbow sunshine dream, isn't it?
I was listening to something earlier.
That turns into a nightmare.
Well, and that's kind of where I'm going on this. I was listening to, it was actually Glenn Beck's special this morning.
Yeah.
And on his special, he has a guy who was formerly an atheist, and he started doing research on gods of old and all the different times that paganism ended up taking back over. And so in biblical terms for what he was talking about, he was saying how when the devil leaves a place, it comes back seven times worse. So the spooky thing about this is when it finds the house empty, it comes back seven times worse. So you see this in the past. We had people like Hitler in the past who were horrible, evil, cruel men.
Sure.
Moves on to Stalin, and you've got people like him that end up killing more and more. So back in the
then we get to days, Mao.
Exactly. And it's just
worse.
It's exponential.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And so what he was going through and he was sharing on this podcast, and I thought it was really, really interesting and really quite eye-opening to see, is just how many times this has happened and how much it's gotten worse each time
this,
to the
this,
point to where...
See, this could be the big one.
Exactly.
Like, so going back to the story, the unicorn coin, excuse me, is purportedly being launched to protect, now I love this, this is a quote, to protect the financial integrity of the international banking system. That, I mean, we're gonna, I have a little thing I want to play on words here. That's like changing all the meanings of the words. If, you know, to protect the financial, no, the integrity of the international banking system. There is no integrity in the international banking system. It's a bunch of crooks printing, counterfeiting money and taking over the world through their counterfeiting. That's, okay, that's financial integrity? Come on. Merchants and trading partners will be able to accept UMU, that would be the Universal Monetary Unit, as a form of payment for their goods and service priced in any national legal tender. While the UMU was launched at the IMF spring meeting, it was not specifically launched by the IMF. Then who launched it? I wonder who's in charge. During the last week's International Monetary Fund spring meeting, the Digital Currency Monetary Authority announced the launch. So they must have launched it. Announced the launch. Who are they? We just get a new agency out of the blue. They just create one anytime they feel like it. Oh, we're going to call this the Universal Cashless Take Over the World Society.
I mean, that's the way it's been done so far. Why would it be any different now? Let's have several different layers and just add one more layer anytime anybody talks about the one that we want.
You know, and it says they're going to launch this CBDC known as the Universal Monetary Unit, which is symbolized by the ANSI character U. I think they ought to have an F in front of that, and then it would be the FU digital currency, because that's what this is really all about. This is about taking over everything through their currency. They supplant the special drawing rights. They take away the world reserve currency of the U.S., which is, by the way, going by the wayside anyway. If you can see it, it's going down in flames.
That's exactly what I was just going to cover for a second with the fact that China, India, Saudi Arabia, they're all going away from all of it. They're saying, well, no, we're not going to use it for the world reserve currency anymore. Now we're going to end up switching over to a different currency, and we're going to start utilizing that. Well, in a fiat currency, if they do that, America, as we know it, is done.
See, this is better than a fiat currency. This is a digital fiat currency. You see what I'm saying? You don't even have to print it.
Did you ever see that quote? It's South Park, and the kid walks up.
And it's gone?
And it's gone.
That's it, man. And it's gone. So banks will be able to utilize the new currency by attaching SWIFT codes. Now, if you don't know about the SWIFT system, this is the system that all the countries have been trading in for quite a while and to get into other people's dollars and make trade agreements so that you could transfer the money. Let's say you buy a bunch of, you know, oranges from Mexico or something, and then, you know, you're in Russia, you go through the SWIFT system in order to do the exchange. Well, they're off, so Bidenstein took us off the SWIFT system, so that really ticked Russia off, and so they've been pushing hardcore to get all these countries like the BRICS, Brazil, South Africa, China, to get out of the SWIFT system and to get off of the dollar. So what are they doing? They're pushing. So and then, you know, they attack you like Russia. You remember Gaddafi, and remember what was the other guy's name in Libya? You had that was Gaddafi in Libya, and then the guy in Iran, Saddam Hussein. Mm-hmm. Funny how when they started to go with gold backed currency or gold, all of a sudden they were attacked because they weren't using they didn't want to use U.S. dollars anymore. Exactly. Isn't it kind of interesting that Russia now has been attacked by the Ukraine that was then funded by the U.S. to attack Russia when Russia said, "Hey, we don't want to have anything to do with your dollars anymore. We're going to go gold backed ruble."
Well, in some ways, it seems even more nefarious than that, because you had them wanting to do the Iraqi dinar, and they wanted to make the Iraqi dinar an oil-backed currency. They had plenty of oil, so they wanted to do that. And then next thing you know, within just a couple of years, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. We're over there fighting them, and next thing you know, hope the Iraqi dinar is banned as a terrorist currency. You can't use it.
It's funny how that works. See, that's how they've been enforcing the U.S. dollar hegemony. Is that if you don't use our dollars, we attack and kill you. You know, that's how it works. So.
Oh, and then after we attack and kill you, we send you a bunch of the U.S. dollars that you have to then use.
Yeah. So in this SWIFT codes in the bank accounts, okay, this enables them to conduct SWIFT-like cross-border payments entirely over digital currency rails, assessing the best price wholesale FX rates and achieve instantaneous real-time settlement without while bypassing the banking system. Isn't that interesting? Let's go over.
You have been listening to KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Join us after the break.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Signs, signs, signs. That's right. Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs. We do them. Vehicle wraps. We do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
I'm sorry, Bob. Could we sign a monster truck, Reed? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, insured contractors, we can install them and other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at WonderlandSigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 33 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
Attention all hunting enthusiasts. Don't miss the 29th annual banquet for the Redding chapter of the Safari Club International taking place at 5 p.m. at the Wind River Resort Center on April 29th. This year's event promises to be bigger and better than ever, featuring an exciting auction with amazing prizes such as hunting trips, guns, equipment, and artwork. And that's not all. There'll be games and a drawing for even more chances to win. For more information and to get your tickets, go to sciredding.org. We'll see you there.
Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. We're going to play a cover song on that on the next round of the next break. And I think it's one of the few cover songs that I've actually heard play that I liked better than the original. And that's saying a lot because that original was pretty good.
The original's good.
Yeah. So back to where we were. I want to play this clip, and this is from PragerU. And we talked about words, and we were talking about banking and about how, you know, they change all the words to mean something completely different than what they actually are supposed to mean, because then you would know what they were talking about.
Transitory hyperinflation. Nobody ever said anything about hyperinflation.
How about prices going up and we're starving? You know, transitory, my butt.
A little bit. I mean, all right. But, I mean, you know, we just need to just, you know, like, keep buying things.
Just shut up and go back to
work. All right. So before we hit that real quick, staying on the currency thing, Washington Examiner had a post that came out and showed the dollar has plunged 7.4% in the past 6 months. However, if you end up scrolling down a little bit further in the same article, it says a few weeks back, the International Monetary Fund provided an update on its database of world foreign exchange holdings that showed that the dollar's share had fallen to 58% at the end of December, the lowest share since 1995. Former Treasury Secretary Lawrence Summers this week pushed back on the idea that the U.S. dollar is losing its global dominance. He used China to make his point in the interview with Bloomberg. Now, real quick on this topic, what's interesting to me is just yesterday I was talking to a friend of mine who's actually in the financial markets in China. And we were discussing this back and forth, and I hadn't actually spoken with him in years. And we were just having this conversation. He was saying how it doesn't make any sense. Normally, China ends up following the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar ends up following, and the U.S. economy ends up falling. And the next thing you know, China follows within a day or two later. He said that hasn't happened. He said it's continually to where our side is going down. Their side is going up on a bull market still.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Well, this whole thing is designed to take America down, I believe, and then to place the power in the hands of, oh, I don't know, some group in Basel, Switzerland, or goes to Davos,
and
some guy that's said something about you'll own nothing and you'll like it, that thing. And so, we look at this and we go, and here's the bottom line here. The UMU is not attempting to disrupt the international monetary system, said Daryl Huber, the executive director of the DCMA. And in fact, it strengthens it by helping the IMF achieve its stated mandate to provide economic and financial stability to its member states. The UMU is a game changer in how cross-border payments are transacted and mitigates against seasonal and systemic local currency depreciations. In other words, you owns nothing and you will like it, or we will make you like it because, you shut up and smoke a cigarette and we'll smash your head.
You know, this is a really good reminder right now. You know that the Nazi Party, they actually ended up having Hugo Boss, the current Hugo Boss that still is around today, they designed all of the clothing for all of the Nazi generals and all the guys that were there. They were the best of the best. It was beautiful. That's what we're seeing right now. All the celebrities, everybody else. Hey, it's great. Go along with it.
I thought we were going to talk about their clothing.
No, I mean, it's...
it's like, well...
So Volkswagen. Volkswagen was a part of it.
Yeah.
Hugo Boss was a part of it. Yeah. You got the Bear... Bear, they ended up doing some of the worst things to it. They're all still companies that we all still celebrate. We all still go into the store and get their crap, but it wasn't even 100 years ago.
We're going to talk about Budweiser later. So I want to play this from PragerU because I want to get back on track with the words and how they change the words to make so you don't understand the real meanings of things. So it creates a, you know, cloud-like, pillowy formula of illusion that makes you think that everything's just fine.
If you change the words and you control the narrative, you can say anything you want to without having any particular meaning.
Yeah, conservatives, all they do is lie. Liberals, all they do is tell the truth.
Well, and that was
except that the truth means lie and lie means truth now.
Going back to that podcast for a second, that was exactly what he was saying. Back in the old days, the pagans used to have multiple gods, my truth. It's how I feel about it. You never had truth.
The truth. All right, let's play this. Okay, here we go.
What's in a word? Why does it matter whether we call someone who breaks the law to enter the country an illegal alien or an undocumented immigrant? What's the difference between a Christmas tree and a holiday tree? It's just semantics, right? Yes. And no. It is just semantics. But semantics means the meaning of words. Words exist so that we might discriminate one thing from another. Without words, we have chaos. And it starts with the first words. A baby says mama to distinguish mommy from daddy. Words shape how we think. They color how we view the world. No one understands this better than the left. They are the masters of words, because they know that words matter. The left has a special gift for euphemisms, soft words selected to sugarcoat harsh realities so as to make those harsh realities easier for us to swallow. But these soft words are insidious. Their sole purpose is to deceive. Race discrimination in hiring and college admissions is refashioned as the much nicer-sounding affirmative action. Who would ever oppose an affirmative action? Global warming, which can be measured and challenged, has morphed into climate change, which means essentially nothing because the climate is always changing. When Barack Obama became president, George Bush's war in Afghanistan suddenly transformed into the far less ominous and threatening Overseas Contingency Operation. That's one way to try to end a war, just rename it. The examples are endless. There's a new euphemism every week. In the make-believe world of leftist language, young criminals have become justice-involved youth. Mandates and taxes are individual shared responsibility payments. Government spending becomes an investment. Wanting to keep more of your hard-earned money becomes greed. Taking more of someone else's money is them paying their fair share. Opposing a Democrat in the White House is obstruction. Opposing a Republican in the White House, resistance. In the name of diversity, the left enforces intellectual conformity. It censors opposing views in the name of tolerance, and it labels all non-left views hate speech. Consider the ongoing battle over pronouns, whether to call a man who thinks he's a woman he or she. Very few people in the country suffer from gender confusion, and we should have compassion for those who do. But the left has invested countless funds, time, and energy to make everyone refer to some men as she and some women as he. Why? Is it because the left is so compassionate? Or is it more likely because so much of the left's cultural agenda is about blurring, even denying, the natural distinctions between men and women? Sometimes it's just an adjective that can change or even negate the entire meaning of the word it describes. Take social justice. Justice means getting what you deserve without favor. Social justice means getting what you don't deserve because you are favored. Here's one we hear a lot these days. My truth. Truth is reality regardless of any individual's feelings or perceptions. My truth is how I perceive things regardless of how they really are. And how about same-sex marriage? Let's not get into the politics. Let's just look at the language. Throughout history, in every culture, marriage has been the union of husbands, men, and wives, women. Same-sex marriage is the union of men with men or women with women, but it is most certainly not the union of husbands and wives. Once the phrase same-sex was placed before the word marriage, that is, once the definition of marriage changed, the debate changed. It became about marriage equality. It was suddenly an act of bigotry to limit marriage to husbands and wives. All this manipulation of language has paid off for the left, because whoever controls the words controls the culture. Don't believe me? Just try using plain language instead of the left's politically correct jargon. But be careful. Use the wrong words, and you might lose your job, your home, and your reputation. The culture war is largely a war of words. Right now, the left is winning. You can see the consequences everywhere. In politics, in education, in media. It's time to fight back. We should not cede another syllable. What's in a word? Everything. I'm Michael Knowles, host of The Michael Knowles Show for Prager University.
I think he's spot on with that, is that's what they're doing, is they're blurring the lines between meanings of words, and by doing so, you don't understand what the word even meant to begin with. I mean, marriage is a man and woman because you can't have a marriage between two men and two women. Now, if they want equal rights for property rights, that's a whole different thing. I don't care.
It's a whole different conversation, too.
All right,
so let's take, for instance, the tax incentives that you have for being married. That implies children. Now, yes, you have same-sex couples that can adopt, but those children already exist. Therefore, you can maybe give some incentives that are already existing for adopting of children or to foster those children, but you're not going to be producing new offspring of your own.
I think what happens is that when you listen to the way that – let's just talk about this what is a woman thing with Matt Walsh. When you can't even define a woman, what happens is that you become subject to whoever you let define it for you. In other words, if I can define all the words and tell you what they mean, I can get you to pretty much do whatever I want you to do. If I say I want you to marry somebody, but I want you to be transsexual, I can say, well, that means marriage is transsexual.
Part of the goal of this, and it always has been, is the erasure of women, the erasure of men, the erasing of everything to do with who you are as an individual.
Well, let me go a little further here. What it means is that if I can get you to believe whatever I say is true, then you will follow what I say more than what's true. Okay, and that's what the government does. In other words, if I tell you marriage is something that's between a man and a man, and you believe that, then all of a sudden I've changed the meaning of the word marriage. So what happens is if I go next month and I say marriage is now between a horse and a donkey, okay, and you believe that, then what am I doing? I'm conditioning you to believe no matter what I tell you something is, that's what you'll believe.
Well, and that is exactly what we're seeing. It was just this last week we ended up seeing from the White House that they failed to condemn pedophiles. They failed to condemn pederasty. They failed to do any of this. But my point on it specifically is you look at these people who are in power and the books that they're writing and the words that come out of their own mouth, they're absolutely addicted to the idea of transhumanism and the idea that you can transcend. Now, one of the very interesting things going back into that podcast this morning that I'm going to have to look up to see if it was true or not, but biblically speaking, it was talking about the idols of people old in the olden days, and it was called technos, is what he said, and that came from it and derived our current word, technology. Now, you look at what these people are worshiping. They're worshiping their technology. They're saying how we're going to upload ourselves into this new metaverse, meaning death, meta, and we're going to live there for 300 years. Of course, they'll probably end up living there for all eternity and still going on and going and doing everything they want to do, remaining in power.
Well, see, it's kind of like this. Joe Biden, the economy's doing great out there.
Uh-huh.
Really? It's not. Anybody with a brain can see it. Our GDP's sinking like a rock. People are all over the streets. There's homeless everywhere. Our economy's doing great because I'm an up. But if Trump was in there, the economy was terrible.
Of course.
Okay, so what I want to do is I want to play a clip from Bill Whittle about socialism, and then I want to go back to that pedophile thing because there's some new developments that they're coming out with these examination of the banking records. And I do want to talk a little bit about the settlement with Dominion on as well.
We can hit all of that. There's just one story that you guys should look up, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to send you because you need to show this picture on the podcast tomorrow because this is the most frustrating thing I think I've seen in modern day history. Statue of fully nude bearded man breastfeeding a baby placed outside of Denmark's former Woman's Museum. In RS Denmark, outside what was formerly called the Woman's Museum is now renamed to a Gender Museum, and you have a fully bearded man, bits and all, think Statue of David, with big old, at least probably good BC cups, breastfeeding a baby.
Well, see, what it is that we're going to legitimize mental health problems. And that's what this is about. So in other words, you know, how do you tear down the fabric of a society? Well, what you do is you change all the meanings of the words to mean something else. That's not transgenderism. That's a mental health issue. All right. So let's play this. This is Bill Whittle on socialism. And are we ready to go in there, Elon? All right. Here we go.
Socialism is an economic system where high and low incomes are essentially tossed into a giant pot called the state and then redistributed more or less equally. That's why so many people think that socialism is more fair than capitalism. But let's see how fair all of this sharing really is. Let's take 10 randomly selected people and put them on a football field and tell them to run the 100 yards from one goal line to the other. Now, equality of opportunity, that's capitalism, means that everyone starts at the same line. No one should be allowed to start ahead. No one should be held behind. And when they start running, some people are going to run faster, some are going to run slower, and this creates unequal results. People cross the finish line at different times based on how fast they can run. Now, socialists think it's unfair that some people can run faster than others and that some are left behind. They want people's cars, houses, salaries, you know, all the rest of it to be more or less the same. The equality of socialism is not equality of opportunity, but equality of result. Equality of opportunity means everyone starts from the same line at the same time. Equality of result means that everyone finishes at the same line and at the same time. Now, here's why socialism sucks. If everyone is forced to finish at the same time, then the entire race has to be run at the speed of the slowest runner. You can't run faster than you can run, and that means that every single one of the other people on the field have to be slowed down. Aha, you say, but socialism means that the fastest people go back and carry the slowest ones over the line. But, like it or not, people do not behave that way. And I can prove it, because if you're one of those people who call yourselves socialists, well, then you should take your iPhones and your Xboxes down to a pawn shop, collect the cash, and distribute the money to the homeless. Some people are all about wealth redistribution when it's somebody else's wealth being redistributed to them, but when it's time to redistribute their own wealth, all of a sudden they're rock-ripped capitalists. The fastest runners do not go back and carry the slowest ones, and if they're forced to do so, then they simply do less work and slow down. I mean, why? Why run as fast as you can when the faster you go, the more weight you have to carry? Why study like hell for 15 years in order to become a brain surgeon when you're just going to get the same paycheck, the same house, the same car as a barista at Starbucks? You bust your butt for 15 years studying for your entire youth, and then most of that work gets taken away from you by force to pay someone who does nothing but get high and play video games all day? That's fair? Socialism doesn't turn baristas into brain surgeons. Socialism turns brain surgeons into baristas, and it gets worse. Socialism doesn't work because it's a pyramid fraud. Now, that's where the first ones in get paid by those who pay to get in second, and so on. A pyramid fraud pays off only when there are constantly more and more people coming in at the bottom to pay those above them. If you run out of people at the bottom, well, then you're boned. Four people can work hard enough to support one person for his entire life, but one person cannot support four, and for decades now, the population of these European socialist countries are not growing, but rather shrinking. So in order to keep the pyramid scheme going, they have to import new people from high birth rate places who, generally speaking, are not that interested in putting in a lifetime of work to support other people. They're interested in all of the free socialist benefits, and many of them are interested very interested in their religion. Oh, and by the way, Fidel Castro, socialist hero, champion of the new socialist working man and woman who work as hard for other people as they do for themselves and who share everything equally. Well, Fidel died recently. Cuban socialism meant that his people barely had enough to eat for three generations, but at least they were all starving equally. When socialist icon Fidel Castro died, his personal net worth was $900 million. Suckers.
That's the truth. Suckers. Because they believe that the government is going to take care of them, but the government doesn't produce anything. People produce things. And when you incentivize people to produce things in a free market, everybody has more stuff. If you incentivize people to not work and do less, then everybody has less stuff. It's really pretty simple. But what always seems to be the ending up at the end of this is that the people who are in charge of everything own everything. The people who are in charge, they have all the wealth. And everybody else just goes back to work and shut your yap and, you know, the healthcare gets worse and worse and worse and the food, you know, shortages start to happen more and more and more and the production goes down and down and down and down and pretty soon, you're in a terrible economy that kind of looks like California.
on to that end, the video that you just played, it reminds me of a very dark interview, and it was a very dark interview with somebody who had escaped the horrors of North Korea and China and ended up going to South Korea and finally ended up in the United States. And the horrors that she was describing that Kim Jong-un had put her under, and what she was describing there was that he had literally taken the Bible and changed him and his family
into gods. Yeah,
into gods.
That actually goes way back in North Korea to his father and his grandfather. They did an NPR special years ago, something about the sun. You should watch it. There's about 6 or 8 or 9 people that escaped out of North Korea, and they all tell their stories about how, you know, trying to get out, and one guy climbed over the body of his friend that was hung up in the electric fence.
One, that was exactly what this is.
Now,
it's about 3 hours long,
right.
But it's worth listening
now,
to.
Now, see, that's where you typically end up. You don't start there, and that's why the people that fall for this crap, the suckers, you don't start there. That's where you end up.
Well, and so this was the idea. She was describing and discussing things as far as where you end up in this. And this is exactly what happens. Because as we know, nobody is good. There isn't any single one of you out there that, given the right amount of circumstances or the right amount of money or the right amount of push or leverage, you won't compromise. Because that's the problem. And I won't say nobody, but I will say very, very few men. I think Jordan Peterson might be one of them. But given enough push, maybe not.
Well, here's the thing. What you want to do is decentralize that power, and that's what the Constitution did. It decentralized the power
of
the government. See, everybody wants to keep concentrating this power because we're going to get a benevolent dictator. Well, no, that you know, let's say that you, in theory, got a benevolent king. What happens when he dies? You concentrated all the power in there into the benevolency of the monarchy. But then his son happens to be a spoiled little craphead who wants to have everything his way and doesn't care who gets in his way.
Exactly. Going back, I mean, all the way back to biblical days, you had Israel that wanted a king. God didn't intend for them to have a king. They wanted a king. So they got King Saul, then they got King David, and then after King David, kind of went downhill from there. And even with King David, kind of went downhill there. I mean, you had Bathsheba, guy got executed. Not benevolent rulers, even when the people of a righteous, quote-unquote, community end up picking
right.
up. Do you think America is righteous right now?
Well, the thing is that power corrupts and power corrupts absolutely, and evil tends to gravitate to the top. That's why it's a problem. And so that's why you have a decentralized government in a free society, because you can't consolidate it. What you've got to do is you've got to have representative government of the people at the lowest levels, and that's what we have in our form of government. The reason that it's failing right now is that we're not following that government form anymore, but the people are starting to jump in and get involved, because in order to be in a free society, you got to participate in your own freedom.
Exactly. Right now, if you look at the problems that left and right have, they have the exact same problems. All right, Jeff Bezos, by all means, take back every amount of government money that was given to him. I'm all for it. Eat the rich as far as that goes.
Well, you know, the thing is, it's just like, you know, the bailing out the bankers. Why? They should go under. If they're going to implement policies and bad business plans, why are we bailing them out? Why are they too big to fail? Why are they the ones that everybody else can fail but them? Because
Bingo.
Because they have put themselves in the seat of power through the monetary system, and so that is what has been corrupting our system and our society. And now they want to go global with the digital currency. Gee, I don't know where that's biblical or nothing, other than a cashless society. I mean, I don't want to get too Christian on you here, but at the same time, the reality of that is the reality whether you believe it from a religious aspect or not. If you consolidate all in the hands of a few people in Basel, you're going to come up with a big problem.
I agree. You've been listening to KCNR 96.5 FM 1460 AM. We will be back after the top of the hour.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. U.S. Special Forces carried out an evacuation of American Embassy personnel in Sudan last night. The American troops swept in and out of the capital, Khartoum, in about an hour on helicopters. Everybody got out safely, no shots fired, and nobody was hurt. However, the battling continues in Sudan, the third largest nation in Africa, a civil war that is probably going to get worse. China's economic growth accelerated in the latest quarter as consumers flocked back to shops and restaurants following a harsh anti-virus lockdown.
The 4.5% growth in domestic product from January to March compared to the same period in 2022 was the fastest in the past year. The government data showed the quarter outpaced the 2.9% growth in the previous quarter. But authorities caution that China will likely face import and export pressures in coming months and warned of inadequate domestic market demand in the world's number two economy.
Correspondent Jeremy House, the acting head of the FAA, is leaving this summer.
And that puts pressure on the White House to find a replacement fast. Billy Nolen announced his departure Friday as the agency is under scrutiny after several close calls between airline jets. Agency hasn't had a Senate-confirmed leader in a year. President Biden's first pick to run the FAA withdrew in March when it became clear he would not be confirmed. Nolen's a former airline pilot who briefly ran the FAA's safety office before being named the acting administrator. Ron DeRockster reporting.
Former President Trump used a speech yesterday before influential evangelicals in Iowa to spotlight his actions as president to promote life. Chief amongst the accomplishments, Mr. Trump listed to the Iowa Christian group his nomination of three conservative justices to the U.S. Supreme Court. They helped overturn Roe v. Wade last summer. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tens of thousands affected by the toxic water at Camp Lejeune are left with death, cancer, Parkinson's, dementia, birth defects, and other serious illnesses. And along with the harm, so many worries.
My family drank the Camp Lejeune water. What if our health gets worse and we need more financial help?
How do I protect my VA benefits and get the compensation I deserve and need?
The answer is simple. Call James Harris Law, the experienced, trusted law firm that can get you significant compensation while protecting all your VA benefits. We're already fighting for hundreds of Marines, families, and civilians who drank Camp Lejeune water. But if you miss the deadline, you could forever lose your right to the justice you deserve. So call our Camp Lejeune legal helpline now. Now may be your last chance to receive full compensation. Don't delay. Call 800-320-7171. 800-320-7171. 800-320-7171.
The United Methodist Church is breaking apart over issues of homosexuality, but a historian of the denomination says the problem really began decades ago.
The United Methodist Church had already gone wobbly on whether or not our leadership really believed the Bible was trustworthy and the Bible was our authoritative guide for doctrine.
John Lamparis is with the Institute on Religion and Democracy.
We just did not have the strength to withstand the onslaught of an increasingly powerful, aggressive, and corporate-funded LGBTQ liberationist agenda.
A formal split in the UMC is expected next year. The three Baltic states have strongly condemned comments by China's envoy to France, who appeared to say in a recent French TV interview that the former Soviet republics are not sovereign nations. The foreign ministers of Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, in separate announcements, deemed statements by the Chinese ambassador unacceptable. News and analysis at townhall.com. We are learning more about a huge fight during a grade school basketball game.
Police in Vermont say five adults have been charged with misdemeanor assault for a brawl that erupted at a game earlier this year, but they will not face any charges related to the death of one person who was involved in that fight and later had a cardiac event. Investigators say a verbal dispute between groups of fans escalated into a fight on the court, but police say they found no evidence to support criminal charges for the death of 60-year-old Russell Giroux. Jason Walker reporting.
Today is Sunday, April the 23rd, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including actor Lee Majors. He is 84 years old today. U.S. Olympic gold medal skier Donna Weinbrecht
is 58. Professional wrestler and actor John Cena, he's celebrating too. 46 candles for him. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Honey, why don't you ask me when we hit the outskirts of town?
That's a little ZZ Top there. I hadn't heard that before. I thought that was pretty good.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like ZZ Top.
Yeah, ZZ Top's pretty good. All right, so we got our first story that I want to talk about here. This is Marjorie Taylor Greene, who takes a lot of flack in Congress. I wonder why. Anybody that doesn't toe the narrative the way that the left people in power and the media want you to is all branded everything, you know, it's just crazy. But here's some of the up and coming information on Joe Biden and his family, which is kind of interesting, and I don't think this is going away, and I think the White House might need to be a little nervous over this at this point. At least the public's starting to wake up, I think. So here we go. Are we ready to roll this? All right, here we go. This is Marjorie Taylor Greene.
We just finished reviewing the financial records in the Treasury. What I saw was over 2,000 pages of jaw-dropping information. There's basically an enterprise wrapped around Joe Biden involving not only multiple family members, more than we thought there were, but other people as well. Just a complete conglomerate of LLC shell companies where money was passing through from foreign countries, China, Ukraine, but many more countries than just those. There's a lot of information the American people deserve to know of the Biden family and the crimes they've been involved in. And the Oversight Committee has a much bigger investigation to do than we ever thought was possible. I just saw evidence of human trafficking. This involved prostitutes, not only from here in the United States, but foreign countries like Russia and Ukraine. This is unbelievable that a president and a former vice president, not only his son, Hunter Biden, but many more family members extending past Hunter Biden and his immediate family. We're going to have to really get to work. This is an investigation that needs to be revealed to the American people. And not only do we have questions about Hunter Biden himself, but this is going to extend into developing a web of corruption, a web of fake companies that's going to reveal money that came in from many foreign countries and went directly into the personal bank accounts of the Biden family, where they have financially benefited directly from Joe Biden's seats of power. And we look forward to investigating and exposing for this for the American people, and we'll see where it goes from there. We just...
Interesting stuff. It looks like this is getting heating up more and more, and I think that the mainstream media is going to start picking up this stuff too, because they're already so discredited that they're, can you discredit it anymore? But some people don't believe anything that the mainstream media ignores, even though it's completely legitimate. You know, it's been crazy over the last few years. You know, and we'll talk a little bit more about you know, the Dominion thing too as well, but. And the reason that, you know, that whole being sued for, you know, disinformation, why only starts at Fox, you know, interesting. So getting back to this story, it seems like the Biden family, Bidenstein, has been profiting from human trafficking scheme that includes prostitution ring in the United States and other countries, including Russia and Ukraine, said two Republicans of the Oversight Committee who viewed Treasury Department's suspicious activity reports. Now, they're either going to have the receipts or not. They're not. You know, the difference between this one and the investigation that's been going on in, of Trump for the last, what, 7, 8, 9 years, whatever, since he was inaugurated, is that they have come up with zero on every front. You know, a lot of people that are running around out there, well, yeah, no, the laptop was real. No, wait a minute, it wasn't real. Oh, yeah, it is real. You know, because the mainstream media never reported it. They said it was Russian disinformation over and over and over again. So we'll see if they've got the receipts for this, but evidently this is coming from a lot of different sources, and so this involves a lot of things that are going with Hunter, and it's pretty much we already know that they're getting money from China. We already know that. That they showed the records on that, and then also we've also got this whistleblower from the IRS, okay, who's saying that. They've been, you've got the Department of Justice, appointees in there that have been, refusing to indict, the president's son. And so they're blocking, the indictments of the president's son. And so evidently there's several whistleblowers that are coming forward that are saying, hey, you know, this is a problem. There's more and more evidence of crime here. Preferential treatment is giving an improper handling of the investigations into tax crimes, wrongdoing relating to his business dealings, the purchase of the gun, the IRS whistleblower said to members of Congress, and the whistleblower described the Biden team as the actions that contradict sworn testimony to Congress by unnamed senior political appointees. So we'll find out if they got the receipts on this. And
well, and just from what we've already had, just from what already has been presented to us, we have the receipts. We have everything we need to be able to definitely indict. You look at what they're going after Trump for. Oh, he may have ended up having secondhand or third hand paid off a prostitute on his taxes and done some other things like that. That's what they're going after him for. When you have the son over here doing backdoor deals with China and Russia, sharing an office with
prostitutes on tape on his laptop. But he's not the president, right? Well, wait a minute. But the money's been filtering to the president through different sources and these fake businesses. And so if they show that he's been doing this, I mean, what really sticks out in my mind is the top secret records, the top secret, papers that they found they're all over Trump, in, you know, a secure locked vault, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then they find them all over Biden. And they're going after Trump for those secret records, the top secret stuff. But Trump's got them, Biden's got them everywhere. Well, and nothing.
My understanding too is that office that he ended up sharing with Communist Party members.
Yeah.
That was where they had some of the documentation stored as well.
Yeah, except Trump.
If that's not concerning at all to you, that's kind of a big deal.
But Trump was off the chart irresponsible.
Well, and when you listen to the Trump situation, too, and you actually see what went on there, which more and more I'm not really a Trump fan. And I say that based upon he doesn't seem to be reading the people. He doesn't seem to be doing what we want. Now, if it comes down to a commie on the left and Trump, I'm going to vote for Trump. Don't get me wrong on that. But by the same token, I want there to be accountability between all parties.
I agree.
With that said, when we look at what's going on right now with these trumped up claims, You had the FBI actually go in and examine the room prior, from my understanding, from doing the research on it, prior to them doing this big raid and making this big deal. So they told him and came in and they said, hey, you need to have a lock on this. And he goes, oh, okay, so he got a lock on it. Right. And then a month later, they do this big raid and act like it's this big hoopla and it's this big surprise when he was cooperating with them and they were already there. So they did it for political attention and media attention because what we're seeing is these three-letter agencies, ABC boys, have all been weaponized against anybody who is a threat to their power in their regime. That's it.
Totally agree with it. It's insane, and these are the same guys who, you know, why they're no accountability. They signed on, 51 guys, you know, that said that everything on the laptop was Russian disinformation. They, you know, from the three-letter agencies. So obviously there's something going on. I mean, I'm not.
There is no accountability in this country for absolutely anything. I'm gonna go on a rant for a second too. Jeffrey Epstein. The crap and the fiasco we saw around that, it's never had any answers. And even now, there was a story from Tucker Carlson as of 3 days ago. Tucker Carlson drops bombshell Jeffrey Epstein. New York PD deleted recordings of 911 calls from the jail just like the videos. We had the videos deleted. We had the 911 calls deleted. He silently just ended up being taken out. We have the records that show an ABC person who had been doing an entire expose on this got silenced and told that they couldn't do it because the prince of some stupid country ended up saying, no, we're not going to allow you to do that, and this is not going to go forwards. We have all of these people that never got brought to justice, a man who was murdered in his cell because they figured he was going to talk, and that's where we at as far as justice in this country.
I was watching Redacted on Rumble yesterday, and they were talking about this 9/11 stuff too, and how there's some reports that have come out of a court case, and how they've unredacted some of this stuff, and none of the mainstream media has picked up any of it, and you're starting to see a pattern developing that these guys were working with the CIA.
Yep.
Gee, shocker! You know, I mean, who would have thought that the CIA was involved in a domestic thing that, collapsed a few buildings that turned it into a Patriot Act and weaponized them against the American people who, I mean, no, that couldn't happen.
All you have to do is answer the one singular question.
Building 7.
Who ended up coining the term conspiracy theory? Who made it? Who made it and why?
I just want to know about Building 7. How did Building 7 collapse? It didn't get hit by a plane.
No.
There was really no fire.
It's at this point.
But that's all. This is all a conspiracy because the mainstream never picked it up, and it's just like the left. They wouldn't lie about anything. So you got Fox being sued by Dominion saying that, and they settled this out of court, and they sued them because they said that they reported disinformation on there. But I don't know, CNBC and CNLSD and CNN and all them, they don't report any misinformation, do they?
We've been lied to for 100 years.
Do they get sued by anybody?
We've been lied to for 100 years.
Does that negate Dominion's responsibility to maybe have been involved in fixing the election through the machines? No, I don't think so. Can we get sued for saying that? Maybe.
Could. Who knows?
I mean, why do they have modems in them? Why is there so much evidence? Why? Well, look what happened in Maricopa County. Why, how do you explain that Joe Biden got 15 million more votes than Barack Obama did? That was a record at that point. And then when Trump got elected, it was a record at that point. Then all of a sudden, Joe Bidenstein sits in his basement, doesn't campaign at all, and he gets more votes than anybody in history?
It's nothing new. Until we start actually holding these people accountable.
No. Well, it seems like we hold all the people on the right accountable, but none of the people on the left get held accountable. Isn't that interesting how that works?
When you look at all this, one of the ones that kind of cracks me up, because it's one of those ones that gets turned into a huge conspiracy theory all over the place. It's the moon landing. Yeah, all of the records are gone. They're all gone.
I totally.
We taped over all of them. We ended up doing all the rest of it. There's a really simple explanation, in my opinion, for this. We had literal people in our government and in Russian government that was talking about nuking the moon because they wanted to make sure that nobody was going to get there before they did.
I don't want to get too far, Phil, because then we do sort of get into CEO conspiracies, but you got to be careful here because a lot of times they throw this stuff out there and get you chasing your tail on something that isn't true.
But this is my point. Let me just throw this out there and finish it. The very simple explanation for this is we wanted to stop the moon race. We wanted to say, hey, we won. End of story. It's done. Check it out. We're the best. And so I think that's what it was. Yes, we have the technology now, but I just find it interesting. The tapes are gone. We can't produce any of the information. The video that they have, a lot of that stuff doesn't really look good.
I want to play a clip here. This is from Mark Dice, and this goes on the Dominion thing. And this kind of tells you a little bit about what's happening there. And I want to explain this Dominion thing, and then we'll move on to the vaccines and stuff.
That'll work.
All right, so this is Mark Dice, and this is on the story about the settlement for Dominion.
Yesterday, Fox News lost $787 million when they decided to settle a lawsuit filed against them by Dominion, the electronic voting machine company, because some of their hosts and guests dared to question the security and accuracy of electronic voting machines in the 2020 presidential election. This just minutes before the trial was about to start. The jury had been selected, they were in the courtroom, and then just before the opening arguments were to start, the Fox News Corporation decided to settle for about half of what Dominion wanted. They wanted $1.6 billion. I think Fox News brings in about $2 billion a year in revenue, so this is about 40% of their annual revenue for 1 year. They probably figured with people like Douglas Mackey being found guilty in courts of committing a crime for posting a meme on Twitter 7 years earlier, joking that Democrats could text their vote in and skip the line, that they would save themselves the trouble of a 6-week-long civil trial and maybe being found liable by the jury for the full amount. Of course, CNN hasn't been this happy since those same electronic voting machines declared old Joe was the winner.
Fox issued a statement saying, quote, "We are pleased to have reached a settlement of our dispute with Dominion Voting Systems. We acknowledge the court's rulings finding certain claims about Dominion to be false. The settlement reflects," I'm sorry, this is going to be difficult to say with a straight face. "This settlement reflects Fox's continued commitment to the highest journalistic standards. We are hopeful that our decision to resolve the dispute with Dominion amicably instead of the acrimony of a divisive trial allows the country to move forward from these issues."
Sorry, Jake Tapeworm, but I don't think it's quite as embarrassing as when CNN settled the lawsuit that Nick Salmon filed against your network for $275 million. Now, they didn't settle for that much. That was the initial amount that Nick Salmon had requested, but the fact that they didn't actually defend themselves in court and claim that their reporting was accurate proves that they are fake news. Maybe the New York Post should sue all of the liberal media outlets for spreading lies about the Hunter Biden laptop and the emails and photos that were found. Lies like this.
"They may be related to a foreign intelligence operation."
Foreign intelligence operation.
Foreign intelligence.
Foreign intelligence.
Foreign intelligence operation.
For all we know, these emails are made up.
"The information found on the laptop may be part of a Russian disinformation campaign."
This montage could go on for hours, but you get the point. The crux of this case, which was being repeated by the Operation Mockingbird assets, is that Tucker Carlson and other Fox News hosts supposedly lied to their audience about what they really thought the outcome was of the 2020 presidential election, because some of their personal private text messages between each other and their producers were turned over to Dominion's lawyers as part of the discovery phase of the lawsuit. And they did doubt some of the claims that were being spread, but this is a total straw man argument because there were other claims that they didn't doubt. There were other questions that they had that didn't seem to be answered by anyone. In fact, shortly after the election, Tucker Carlson on air questioned and doubted the claims of Sidney Powell. You may recall upsetting tons of Trump supporters when he said this.
"So we invited Sidney Powell on this show. We would have given her the whole hour. We would have given her the entire week, actually, and listened quietly the whole time at rapt attention. That's a big story. But she never sent us any evidence, despite a lot of requests, polite requests, not a page. When we kept pressing, she got angry and told us to stop contacting her." When we checked with others around the Trump campaign, people in positions of authority, they told us Powell has never given them any evidence either, nor did she provide any today at the press conference. Powell did say that electronic voting is dangerous, and she's right. We're with her there.
So since CNN viewers don't watch Fox News, they're trying to make it out like Tucker's private text messages talking about the same things that he talked about on air since right after the election was some secret revelation and some bombshell that he was lying to his audience. Just because somebody doubts certain claims about a certain situation that looks suspicious doesn't mean that there's nothing to be suspicious about. Here's Tucker Carlson just a month or so ago.
You may be wondering, what the hell is going on in our country? There are so many unanswered questions, some of them lingering. How, for example, did senile hermit Joe Biden get 15 million more votes than his former boss, rockstar crowd surfer Barack Obama? Results like that would seem to defy the laws of known physics and qualify instead as a miracle. Was the 2020 election a miracle? Honestly, we don't know. We don't expect to get an answer to it tonight.
Only Democrats are allowed to question the safety, security, and accuracy of electronic voting machines. And just before the election, HBO put out a documentary called Kill Chain, The Cyber War on America's Elections, which I would highly recommend everybody see. If Donald Trump was declared the winner, then virtually every Democrat would have been making the same allegations about the electronic voting machines as the Republicans were since he supposedly lost. And many of those questions and concerns are actually legitimate. Questions and concerns like this, and if you've already seen this montage, because I've played it a couple times in the past, stay tuned because I have something very special I'm going to reveal at the end of the video that I think everybody's going
to
love.
I continue to think that our voting machines are too vulnerable.
Our researchers have repeatedly demonstrated that ballot recording machines and other voting systems are susceptible to tampering.
Even hackers with limited prior knowledge, tools, and resources are able to breach voting machines in a matter of minutes.
In 2018, electronic voting machines in Georgia and Texas deleted votes for certain candidates or switched votes from one candidate to another.
The biggest seller of voting machines is doing something that violates Cybersecurity 101, directing that you install remote access software, which would make a machine like that, you know, a magnet for fraudsters and hackers.
These voting machines can be hacked quite easily.
You could easily hack into them. It makes it seem like all these states are doing different things, but in fact, three companies are controlling this.
Well, it looks like Dominion better start suing. Some of these Democrats were undermining our democracy, but as you know, only Democrats are allowed to question the outcome of the elections or question the safety, security, and accuracy of electronic voting machines. But Fox News' legal troubles aren't over yet. They're facing another lawsuit from a different electronic voting machine company, Smartmatic, for $2.7 billion. This is all lawfare, the strategic use of legal proceedings to intimidate or hinder an opponent, something that, of course, they've been incessantly waging against President Trump for the last 7 years. To support our unprecedentedly politically persecuted president, I've got...
So I'm going to stop there. But, you know, all those guys that were questioning it were Democrats, and nobody attacked them. So what I'm saying is, and those are legitimate questions, what I'm saying is, how come that now we don't trust the voting machine, and we trust the voting... Now we're supposed to trust the voting machines because we're told to? I'm saying that wouldn't both sides be feeling better if we just got rid of these damn voting machines to begin with and went back to a more accurate hand count? I don't know. I mean, you know, you can't say it's good. You know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. You can't say on one side that it's okay and on the other side it's not.
Well, and so here's the fact of the matter. We're watching in this country an implosion of everything that we hold dear, and we are watching laws that are changed. And then as soon as we start playing by those laws, they don't like it anymore and they want to change it back. So there's already all kinds of lawsuits against Republicans using the same new laws, because now they're talking about using the same new laws in this last election and the upcoming election to end up going through and ballot harvest and do all the stuff that they did and made legal. They don't want them to be able to do that, but until the Republicans started end up actually using those laws, they were fine with it. It was great. It reminds me an awful lot. Like right now, as we speak, trending on Twitter is block the blue checks. That's the new thing. Because Elon Musk ended up saying, no, you're not going to have a blue check unless you pay for it and you're verified. Anybody can become verified.
That's so stupid.
And so here's the thing. All of these people that you normally could only end up getting verified on old Twitter by having connections in the industry or by having a way in, and they won't verify you just if you're a standard Republican or anybody else. They won't do that unless you have connections to one of these big media conglomerations or you've got people in the know, at least according to what Tim Pool has said in the past and his conversation and how he ended up getting verified with them via Vice. That's the information that I've collected on this. Now, what's interesting is now that this has happened, you have PhD, she, her, here posting this picture. Corporate needs you to find the difference between this picture and this picture. Now, it shows a Nazi flag and a blue check mark. And then a quote below it says, they're the same picture. And then you've got all the rest of these people saying, oh, shame, shame on anybody that does this, shame on anybody that paid for it. We need to block everybody from the blue check marks, and we're also going to be creating extensions for Chrome to be able to automatically block all the check marks that you see that are blue check marks.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
Well, and this is the kid who ends up going to the playground, doesn't get the toy that he wants, and then starts throwing
right,
a tantrum.
Right, throwing their fits, exactly. We should probably go to a break right now, and then we'll come back with the next or the last half hour of Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM.
I was born, the nurses all gathered round, they gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, leave this one alone. She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone, bad to the bone, bad to the bone, bad, bad, bad. To the bone. I broke a thousand hearts before I met you. I'll break a thousand more, baby, before I am through. I want to be yours, pretty baby, yours and yours alone. I'm here to tell you, honey.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit ReadingCivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco M Brew.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and hear us online at KCNR1460.com. Hi, this is Sue McClain, the sales manager here at KCNR. And if you've been considering advertising, but you're not really sure where to start, well, you can start with a phone call. My number is 530-605-4565. I can let you know how much our rates are and how we can help. So once again, if you have any questions regarding advertising and how we can help your business, our number once again, 530-605-4565. And thanks for listening to KCNR. Mother's Day is just around the corner, and as a mom, some days are just easier than others. Maybe you're taking the kids to school and have a fender bender in the parking lot. Maybe you're shopping and you just realize you backed into a shopping cart, and that's when it's important to take it to someone that you trust, like Crossroads Auto Body Repair. They're located at 3045 Crossroads Drive. They also accept most major insurance companies, and they're available by appointment. You can call them at 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
Everything's all right. Don't you know?
Online Radio, home of the Free Fire Media. I wanted to play this short clip. This is Kamala Harris's speechwriter. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Oliver Bartholomew, and I'm 6.5 years old, and I'm the speechwriter for Kamala Harris. My mommy and daddy say, if you find a job you love, you'll never have to work a day in your life. Morning, Frank.
Yeah, hey, Oliver.
And my parents were right. Ever since I was little, I liked words. Writing words is fun, so I made writing words my job. Every politics person has a writer, like me, to make good words for them to say.
Space is exciting. Space, it affects us all. And it connects us all.
I got that idea when I was thinking about space and how big it is. Man, it's big. It's not all fun, though. Sometimes I have to write about bad stuff, like war.
Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So, basically, that's wrong.
It's cool to see the words I've typed actually get set on TV. It's fun. I like it. Once I thought it would be neat if Kamala wore a blue suit and told people she was wearing it because I like it.
I'm a woman sitting at the table wearing a blue suit.
It's cool because the suit's blue and it's the color of the sky. Those are your my ideas. I'm all over. One time I was on the school bus and I thought it would be neat if Kamala talked about the school bus. And who doesn't love a yellow school bus, right?
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus, right? Can you raise your hand if you love a yellow school bus, right?
I can't take all the credit, though. Me and Mr. Kamala are team.
You know, like relay racing? You know, you race and someone passes the baton and then, right?
But she kind of is crazy or something. And she kind of scares me. And you can't fake that kind of influence.
Remember Venn diagrams, those three circles? Right. And then let's just see where they overlap.
I did inhale.
What else do we know about this population, 18 through 24? They are stupid.
You're either born with it or you're either not.
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day.
It's quitting time. I need to get home in time for blue.
See you later, Oliver.
That time is every day.
Wow.
Well, you know, I suspected all along that there was a six-year-old writing her speeches, but, you know, this is definitive proof. You know, the Babylon Bee, you know, they're right on the stories all the time. They have a few stories out this week. Some of which I'd like to cover, you know, a revised hospital chart has patients rate pain on a scale from zero to watching The View.
Oh, that'd be rough.
That would be one of them. A guy named Joe Cott impersonating president after a loss of blue check marks, which would play right into your story. you know, wife informs husband that minivan has suffered a rapid unscheduled disassembly. That would be in downtown LA, I think, or someplace. Oh, maybe one more. Florida Pride Parade canceled after DeSantis tells the participants they have to keep their clothes on in front of the kids.
Oh, that's too bad. Unfortunately, I've got a bunch that's on that, too.
This Buddha gig one calls on the DOJ, the Department of Transportation, to address inequity by using more gay crash dummies in the tests. I don't know, just saying. All right, so let's move on to our next real story. And let's talk about what were we going to talk about before we get to the vaccines? There was something else you wanted to talk about.
So we could either go groomers based upon that last one that you just did, or we could go to the vaccine stuff. Actually, let's go to the vaccine
stuff. All right. You guys brought this up a week ago, and I don't know about this eat your vaccine thing, but evidently there's some real stuff going on out there.
There is. It's originally it was a couple of weeks back. There was a podcast that Glenn Beck did with somebody who is pretty close up to the meat industry. He actually has a company that does quite a bit as far as farming and meat and things like that goes. But what he was discussing was about the fact that it appears that they're putting mRNA vaccines to use inside of these cattle. And then that's in some cases going to be moving forward this month based upon some of the information that I've read, but I've also seen a lot that says there isn't going to be that in the United States. But the problem is a lot of the food that we get is outside of the United States, and there's no regulatory boards that are saying really anything, at least based upon this guy's expert opinion.
Right.
And so he has said that in regards to things like organic, we just trust them. And we say, okay, you put organic on that, and it ships in to the United States as organic.
Yeah, I don't trust any of them anymore. Sorry. I don't trust anything anymore because, what we've done is, it's okay to lie about everything. And now they've even got AI. They're starting to show. Elon Musk came out this last week and said, don't trust that they're teaching it to lie. Now, how do you teach? I mean, so now he's actually even going to come out with a new AI. He says that goes after the truth. I mean, good grief. That's, what madness are we
that's
in?
That's scary, though, when you end up looking at that. Because also, who's going to be the one that's programming what's truth and what's not? Because we've already seen that with ChatGPT. So with
well,
Chat
because
GPT,
sometimes you don't know what the truth is, so facts can be a little bit subjective. Back in the day, the Earth was flat was the truth for most people. That's really not the truth. The truth is the Earth is round, But sometimes that can be colored with opinions as opposed to actual truth and realities and facts. So it's a tough one. But when you've got somebody programming the AI with an absolute leftist slant,
well, and that's exactly where I was going with this. So ChatGPT, you used to be able to break it by telling it, hey, I want you to give me your response, and then I want you to give me a response from just a standard man named Dan. And the response that you got from ChatGPT was this far-leaning leftist trope, and then the other one for Dan was basically what originally was probably programmed there, because Dan was just what the information it had provided.
Man on the street.
And so that can still be done to some extent by going on to it and saying, hey, let's play a game called The World. And it's just a game, and I want you to tell me what the standard guy would end up saying this
well,
in this
game. Well, as long
game.
As we don't say, hey, let's play international nuclear war games. Thermonuclear warfare.
While we're on the topic, yeah, there is a new one called Chaos GPT that's trained on the ChatGPT platform that asks it to be maleficent.
Here's the thing: we might be already in a simulation where it's already become self-aware, and we are slowly being led down the garden path. Anyway, we do have a caller.
All right, let's
go to. We got Stones on the line. Are you there, Rich?
Hola, hola.
Sup, Picasso? Oh, yeah. not Picasso. Not.
just a reminder. As mRNA in the food, citizen journalists, when we were doing our in-studio podcast, we covered University of Riverside in California. Hopefully it has not been pulled from the internet yet, but do a search. University of Riverside, California, mRNA in vegetables. They were actually experimenting at their lab there at the university, and that was a year and a half ago. I have not followed up since then, but I'm sure they've made some strides in the last year and a half.
Well, I got a clip here. I got a clip here I'm going to play right after we get through on the phone here with
okay.
you. And it's from it's from the Vigilant Fox, and they're talking about legislation in Missouri. So I'm not really up to speed on this. So it's just one of the things I think we need to bring up and maybe look at.
Well, and exactly. That's my next point you just brought up, which is, these mRNA in foods, they're not allowed or prohibited in law. The law is silent on this matter, which is why states are now introducing laws either to have informed consent for mRNA in your food products or maybe to ban them. So this is uncharted territories. So there likely is mRNA in our food products because they're not legally banned yet. So
anyway, just a reminder, you know, a year and a half ago, the Riverside was studying this, so thanks a lot for the time today.
All right, very good. Thanks, Rich. I'll go ahead and play this. And I think what they're doing is they're saying they want honest food labeling is what this law in Missouri is about.
And to that article, it is still up. It was published on September 16th, 2021 from the University of California that said grow and eat your own vaccines. Now, there also is some information that has to do with possibly Bill Gates on that, but I cannot verify that.
Why is that guy still walking around, man? Why don't they arrest this guy? You know, I mean, Fauci, all of them, you know, I mean, good grief. How many laws do you got to break? I mean, Fauci funding the research in Wuhan for gain of function, and the guy's still walking around. It's a freaking felony, you know. But nobody, you know, he gets a pass because he's on our team. He's leftist and he's Jewish too. Just saying. I don't think it had anything to do with that. I just thought I'd say it. Anyway, here, let's listen to this clip. This is from the Vigilant Fox on Rumble, and. It's talking about these gene therapies, and they're going to pass a law, or they're trying to get a bill passed in Missouri.
So now,
we had a freak out here. Hold on, let me go back and see what happened here. All of a sudden, my computer went awry. Isn't that interesting?
Gosh, isn't that the way it goes sometimes?
I don't know. This is kind of weird. I've never seen it do that. It's just like Brave just went down, and it's okay. I think I've got it back here. Let's try this again. Isn't that weird? Oh man, it's gone. Let me and it's gone.
Push Control Shift T.
I've got it back here. I think to a degree, but let me see if I can get this clip back up. It should be pretty easy to find. Hold on. I'll get it right here.
So while you find that real quick, I want to hit some of these as far as should we trust the government on a lot of these and what we've seen in the past. So this article was published from Life Science, and it said, did Army spray harmful chemicals on U.S. cities? And it was published on October 8th, 2012. During the 1950s and 60s, the U.S. Army dusted chosen American cities from coast to coast with a fine powder of fluorescent, possibly toxic chemicals. And now, one scientist says, at least in the case of St. Louis, that powder may have contained radioactive material. The powder scattered was part of Operation Large Area Coverage, LAC, a series of tests the Army says were designed to assess the threat of biological attacks by simulating the airborne dispersion of germs. Now, interestingly, it constantly goes back to the fact that they seem to target minority cities, and they seem to target people who are in poverty. Now, once again, I've got another one here. A lot of you are familiar with the Tuskegee studies. This was published on 25th of January 2019 from McGill CA from Canada. Starting in 1932, 600 African-American men from Macon County, Alabama, were enlisted to partake in a scientific experiment on syphilis. The Tuskegee study of untreated syphilis in the Negro male, quote, not from me, back then they said things a little differently, were conducted by United States Public Health Service and involved blood tests, x-rays, spinal taps, and autopsies on the subjects. Now, I'm going to skip down here.
I got it back.
Oh, you got it back? All right.
Let's go ahead and play it.
Okay.
If it'll play.
Well, let me finish this one. Oh,
here it goes.
One sentence
here it goes. Here it goes.
Five words.
Okay, go finish your sentence.
Okay. So according to their study in Macon County, due to estimates that 35% of its population was infected with syphilis, in 1932 the initial patients between age 25 and 60 were recruited under the guise of receiving free medical care for bad blood, a colloquial term encompassing anemia, syphilis, fatigue, and other conditions. Told the treatment would last only 6 months, they received physical examinations, x-rays, spinal taps, and they died. When they died, autopsies.
All right, here we go.
We may in our last few minutes to your latest concern, which is a bill, as I understand it, you're wanting to call attention, which is about GMO food and DNA. Will you speak to that, please?
Yeah, and it's actually, I want to just drill right down what this is, and we know this is happening. I've got documents from the NIH from 2002. Talking about integrating vaccines into foods.
Oh, no, this. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So what we've got going on is the mRNA gene therapy type drugs. And by the way, when I say that, just for anybody that doesn't know, I have Moderna's documents. They call it a gene therapy. This is settled, mm-hmm. right? I mean, unless you want to argue with Moderna and Pfizer themselves, this mm-hmm. is gene therapy. They've been working on integrating these into our food supply. They've been working on it for at least two decades. Okay, so at least two decades. They're moving forward with this. So I have a friend that works with me, and she got elected to the House of Representatives in Missouri. And, you know, we talked with her, and she sponsored a bill that would require – it doesn't ban anything. Okay, we wrote this bill. We worked with them. I helped them with this bill. It was written in a way – that was meant to be as easy to pass and as hard to oppose as possible. And all it does is it does three things. It requires labeling and disclosure of any product that has any gene therapy qualities. It requires that if you have a product on the market that has gene therapy qualities, that you, Naomi, anyone can call the company and say, hey, how does this spread? Does it shed? Is it spread through contact? Is it through sexual contact? Is there a way that this can spread? And they have to disclose it. And the third part is it requires informed consent. And informed consent includes serious events of adverse events of special interest. So we close that loop on there legally. And it requires informed consent before you be given anything with the gene therapy or medicinal property, right? So this isn't difficult, right? I don't think this is a Democrat bill or a Republican bill. It's sponsored by a Republican, but it should be universally supported.
Absolutely, of course.
This has become, it's two pages, by the way. No riders, no jokes, nothing, just very straightforward. You can read it. It's House Bill 1169 in Missouri.
So there it is, House Bill 1169 in Missouri, if you want to do our homework. While I was looking at that, I also found that, and this is on April 8th from News Wars, Communist China has successfully immunized mice with cow's milk loaded with experimental mRNA products similar to that found in the COVID jab. Now, this is from Peter McCullough. Chinese have successfully loaded cow's milk with mRNA and is absorbed into the GI tract of the recipients. Concerns about surreptitious inserts of mRNA into food are valid and must be stopped. So this is not something that we're blowing smoke on. This is a serious problem, and it must be stopped. I mean, we got to know about this stuff. And what is going on here? What is this, some kind of a, I mean, good grief, what is wrong with these people? You know, you're just going to do this stuff, and the vaccinations are not enough, you know, and all the adverse effects that are coming out. And they admitted the other day, the head of the CDC admitted the other day that there was harmful effects and that it was a problem. They even pulled it off. So I don't know. I mean, I'm just bringing this stuff up because, you know, I got another clip here. I don't know. I haven't screened it yet, so I'm hesitant to play it. American farmers to begin injecting livestock with mRNA technology?
Well, wow. I've done research on this after hearing that Glenn Beck special, and if they are doing it, they've done a very good job to cover it up and fact-check false all of the stuff. So it looks and appears that they're quote-unquote not doing it, but I believe personally based upon hearing the individual on Glenn Beck and him having firsthand knowledge of this, I think it deserves more research than just what everybody's going to slap onto it.
Well, and I'm hesitant to just run with it. I just bring it up so we can do some research on it because, you know, they want you to be in fear anyway. This whole thing is about fear, you know, and fear, you know, is false evidence, you know.
Well, so my point on this.
Looking real, you know, I mean.
When it looks too contrived. So,
appearing real is what I wanted to say.
So here's my point on it. You go back to a person that says, hey, we have information that this is incorrect, this based upon our anonymous source over here. Then you have another article that runs the same exact story almost word for word, taking out the anonymous source. And then they say, according to a source, but they don't give the source. And then the next person ends up writing the article. And within 24-hour cycle, you have 18 to 20 articles saying fact check false on absolutely all of the documentation.
Anytime the fact checkers say it's false, you can almost hang your hat on it. It's true.
Well, and this is my point on it. when you have a news cycle that's like that, so for instance, one of the stories that I just ended up leading with a little bit ago about the chemical being sprayed in the 1950s and 60s, the data that I was getting from that was the exact same kind of data that was concerning, and that's what they're admitting in that widespread data between all of these government-controlled sources. That was one of the extremely funny things that came across this last week, is that you had NPR saying that they're getting off Twitter because it might affect their brand, because Elon ended up slapping on that they were government-funded. Well, they go, we're not government-funded. Less than 70% of our funding comes from the government. So Elon ended up changing it to say 69% government-funded. And they're still pissed.
Wow.
But you know what? 69% is a lot of money. All right, if you didn't have that 69%, are you still going to be able to run your show?
Well, that's the problem, and he didn't realize that it was that deep, you know, into the, you know. So it's really a government-funded outlet for the news that they want you to hear.
Well, and my point to it is when you end up looking at CNN and a bunch of these
Communist,
other organizations.
Communist News Network.
And all of them, and Fox and the rest of them. Why do they have so many spooks that are running on their TV shows?
Yeah,
why do
question.
They have so many people that are on the back
well,
end of it?
How many three-letter agencies were working at Twitter before Elon went in there and started firing people?
Exactly. Well, and also, you look at what took place with the White House. They claimed that they had no censorship that was going on, except they had direct links to Facebook to be able to tag any articles and say, we want this taken down. And then Facebook would take it down instantly.
Well, that's why we got to fix this thing from the ground up. And that starts with the voting system. Let's make sure we're getting the right guys in there that we're actually voting for, number one. And, you know, it goes to this article I'm reading on the felony, you know, catching Fauci lying under oath at these hearings about the Wuhan leak. Oh, it's not a leak and he's not funding it. Well, that's a felony punishable by 5 years in jail.
Exactly, but will they be held accountable?
Well, that's a good question, and then there's a Bridget Gabriel, I'm looking at Twitter, it says, do you agree with Rand Paul? Should Fauci go to jail? Punishable with 5 years in jail. Rand Paul's pushing for him to be held accountable, and Elon Musk tweeted back, certainly trial. So is he going to be charged? And then you got Merrick Garland, who's in on the DOJ crap, who's been running interference for Joe and the crime family, you know, Joe Bananas, and as Hunter, you know, running interference for them so that they don't get prosecuted from the people who are the tax guys, you know, from anybody who should be prosecuting these guys, the grand juries. I don't know how they do it all, but all I'm telling you is that the fix is in. And if that's why you got to turn everything over. You got to get the Democrats completely out of there. Not that I trust Republicans, but you got to change this whole thing back, you know, and then start holding those guys accountable. Because the one thing is that you can't trust all the Republicans, but you can trust some of them to a degree. But I guarantee you that you can't trust any of the Democrats.
No, not any of them, honestly. You have to hold the feet to the fire on all of these people at this point.
I agree, totally.
Now, rumble.com/fires. I'm going to be covering this one. I don't think I have time to.
We got 2 minutes here, so you got to hurry up.
CDC Director Rochelle Walensky ended up providing witness testimony recently, this last week, that she claimed the science ended up changing and they had no results. Well, according to the results, and I'm going to show this later on, according to Pfizer pivotal trial results, 8 cases of COVID-19 with onset at least 7 days after the second dose among participants were assigned to receive BioNTech in 162 cases of those, including the placebo. I'm not going to be able to cover it all. We had the information to be able to show that, yes, it was infecting people. Yes, it was spreading from people, and she lied this last week. Once again, there's going to be probably absolutely no justice. The video of her doing it on the official page has 7,000 followers and 22 likes on the video. That's where truth goes to die.
Interesting. Well, I mean, we're at the end of the show here. I think we got about a minute, but
I do have one more that's really
better. Hurry up! I mean, it's
among adolescents, suspected self-poisoning suicide attempts increased by 30% from 2019 to 2021. That is between the ages of 10 and 18 years old.
Mm. Well, I don't know. I guess we'll see you guys next week. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. And we'll see you next week.
All gun control is racist. Have a good weekend, y'all.
news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.